powerful mindset shift where you realize you only need to take as much as you need and not waste. And we've seen people's behaviors change, not just in restaurants, but in so many other aspects of their lives. So that's how it was very powerful. And
welcome. You're listening to the Young Changemakers podcast. In these episodes, your co-hosts, Sarah, George, and Anastasia, will be talking to passionate young individuals from around the world to explore how they are making lasting impact in their local communities. So cozy up, listen in, because inspiring stories are waiting to be heard, and power lies within youth. Hello, hello everyone. Anastasia here with my very last episode for the season. I know, how the heck is already almost the end of season three. Time flies, honestly, when you're having fun, friends. The end of the season has got me feeling quite nostalgic, and honestly, I've really, really loved the overall vibe of what we've been creating. I know that I've personally had the best time e-meeting all of these amazing people, and I really hope that you've enjoyed these episodes too. We'd love to hear from you and your thoughts. Please drop us a DM on our Instagram at wearegcm to let us know what you think. As always, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. We wouldn't be here without the listeners, so thank you everyone. Now, for today's episode, we've got the incredible, the amazing Garvita. She's a young changemaker from Bangalore, India, with a vision to change the way we all think about water. How do you consume water in your day-to-day life? Are there any small changes that you could make to create a big difference? Garvita's vision is impressive, and you are in for a treat. So sit back, relax, and let's get into the episode. Ooh, thank you everyone for joining for today's podcast. We've got Garvita on our podcast episode today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be a part of the GCM podcast.
Amazing. Sounds good. Honestly, like, we love having everyone on. Just got my roomie leaving. We love having everyone on the podcast. Maybe you can get started and just tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about the organization that you've founded, which is, by the way, amazing.
Thanks, Anna. So about 6 years ago, I was deeply impacted by the water crisis in India, more so in Bangalore, because, you know, I learned that we were going to be the next city in the world to run out of water. And I was hearing all of these issues related to water, which are really deep rooted and are impacting people in a terrible way, in the sense that there are a few privileged versus there are a few, you know, who just simply don't have the access to this resource. And in that process, I learned, you know, of farmers taking their lives due to lack of access to water, and women and children walking miles just to get a glass of water. And parallelly, I was hearing these stories of 14 million liters of water getting wasted every year, simply in the water that we leave behind in glasses at restaurants. And that was very shocking to me. In fact, if I have to be specific, it was the triviality of that egregious number that moved me to such an extent. And it made me realize that there were people who didn't have the access to water, and there was us who was wasting that. And there were, you know, we who were wasting water. And I started seeing this happening in people, happening with people around me, and it moved me to want to do something. And that's when I was compelled to make a change. And I founded Why Waste with the aim of changing the mindsets of people towards water and building simple solutions to solve the global water crisis. So the aim was really to ensure that everyone is a part of the solution, right? We don't want to be constantly complaining or constantly telling people to, you know, do something or, you know, make a difference. Rather, step up and make each of us a problem solver. The solutions are so simple that anyone can implement it, and the impact is so drastic. So you just need to take that time to realize the impact that you can create and be a part of something that can be so revolutionary.
That is amazing. Like, wow. I love as well that you've, really been able to see that problem and then want to try and find a solution. Maybe let's take a bit of a step back, maybe a lot of steps back. What do you feel like was your earliest memory with water? Like, I don't know, playing in the pool, like it's a swimming pool, or maybe, I don't know, having like a fun bubble bath as a 3-year-old or whatever. What was your earliest memory?
Yeah, I think so. There is a festival that we play in India called Holi, and it is the festival of water and color. So yes, while I have had a couple of experiences of the bubble baths and swimming pools, which I loved and I kind of avoid now, though I being a swimmer, it is something that I'm still doing sometimes, But again, since it's a community pool, it's still sustainable, and we use recycled water, etc. But that's another story. Anyways, answering your question of my first and most favorite moment with water, I think it has to be during the festival of Holi, and we would have these, crazy ass balloon water balloon fights, and there's this toy called Pitchkari, which basically I don't know what it's called in English, but it's like a water gun of sorts.
Yeah, I was gonna
You
say, it's
could
like a
say
water gun of some kind.
it looks like you're launching a rocket, but it's also a water gun of sorts. And so I still have these crazy visions of, this girls versus boys kind of a thing, and us of course winning, and all of these other crazy experiences, just completely drenched, disgusting in colors and water. And yeah, that is my first crazy experience.
That's it. All the good stuff, like drenched in color, all water. No, it's good. It's good. I was telling you this earlier, but I guess I'll repeat it for the podcast. One of my best friends in high school, still best friend for today. She's from Bangalore, so from where you are from. And I remember in high school, she actually would bring the water bottles, like when it was Holi. Like she would bring the balloons to school, and then we'd like fill them up at the water bubble, like I don't know, bathroom or whatever, and then we just throw it at each other. It was just so much fun. Like that kind of stuff is awesome. And I think
Yeah.
when you get all together and just kind of it's good.
I think when you get older, you become more conscious about what you're doing, and you're just like, oh no, I can't do this anymore. But it's
So good.
unfortunately true, but yeah, that is what it is.
I mean, like from now, obviously you're in like water conservation, sustainability, all that kind of stuff. Like when you reflect on those kind of moments where it is like, I mean, this honestly, I didn't know about this, but like when you think about like Holi and you're using water and things like that, like how do you, are there any alternatives that you recommend now? Or,
Yeah, I think in fact everyone around the country and around the world, Indians have become very conscious about water, and dry Holi has become a trend now.
Oh,
So
I didn't
and the
know.
colors that we use are also organic. So what was happening earlier was the colors that were being used were not organic, and when there's water involved, the colors wash off you, and then again they go and join whatever water systems are there around you, and that's extremely unhealthy for everyone living around. But now we have, organic colors. People prefer dry Holi. So yeah, it's lovely to see that the both manufacturing has evolved, and at the same time people have also evolved. And it's not just, the young people or the millennials, but it's everyone, every single person, including my grandparents, who have evolved in their mindset. So that's lovely to see.
Nice. It's amazing. It's honestly so great to see like how everyone's getting in on this movement and just really starting to amp all of this up. Compared to before, like where we were, even though this is not news, like climate change and all this stuff is still not new, but it seems like we are light years away in terms of perceptions compared to what it was before. You'd started the organization 6 years ago, an incredible feat. How has that journey been like from then until today? I'm sure we could talk for hours, but you could summarize like what that was like having to, first you're trying to solve a problem in the community, and then how do you approach like rallying everyone to really believe in that and then want to make a change as well?
Yeah, so I'm going to have to sum up 6 years in 2 minutes for you. You've given me a mammoth task.
I was going to say, we could probably talk for hours, but yeah, like I'm sure you've got a plethora of knowledge, maybe just like, I think it'd be great just to understand, yeah, just some of the key lessons that you've learned over the period and what that was like.
Yeah, I think one of the key things when I started out was to see the resistance from people around me. And even though I come from what I would definitely say is a privileged background, and I know there are people who are working towards change who come from places where they are underprivileged, right? So definitely having the privilege and some level of comfort was helpful, but there was resistance in terms of people not being able to make sense of what the hell I was trying to do, right? They couldn't understand why is she doing something that is not conformed to the norms. They couldn't understand why I was trying to take on, actions and tasks and challenges that were so, far-fetched or maybe even not very sensible for someone who's just 13 or 15 years old. And so, and India being a country where, education is very important, getting high scores is very important. That was another interesting thing to navigate. But I think, to see that today there are so many young people who are encouraged to be change makers is empowering, because I think folks like us who made it through that those first few years realize the importance of the process and how it makes you a much stronger, smarter, I don't know how smart, but definitely, stronger and more empathetic, and just all of those added values and skills that it brings to you, because you're taking on some of the biggest challenges, you're having conversations with some of the key stakeholders when you're barely even an adult. And I think that for me has been one of the most rewarding parts of this experience, just doing things that were so different from my peers and then trying to translate that and create shared value is what I have thoroughly, kind of cherished. And when it comes to YB specifically in the type of impact that we've been able to create, it started out with building simple solutions, convincing people, creating that awareness to actually making impactful, tangible change products and, creating resources that people are using on a daily basis. So even at our level, understanding what it takes to change and how you navigate through the process was very powerful.
Amazing. Like, honestly, that sounds so cool. I want to ask as well, there's obviously a lot to take on board, like as a teenager and then now going into a young adult. When you were talking to like key stakeholders, like MPs, and I imagine like local representatives in your community, what was that like and how did you prepare for conversations like that to really develop those shared values that you were talking about?
I think that's a super cool question. When you talk about how did I prepare for it, I think it was, I just took tremendous amounts of passion and I spoke from the heart. That is literally it. I mean, how do you prepare for something like that? I don't know how to create the best presentation deck. I don't know how to, give the best ever 1 minute elevator pitch. These are things that I still don't know, but what I took, I think, was deep passion and love for the problem that I was trying to solve, and that's what they saw. And I think it might have taken a little bit longer than it would have, or maybe it played to my favor where people said that, oh my god, look at the passion with which she's coming, I think we should help her. But no, it was hard. It was hard to convince people. It was hard to get onto the phone only with them. I think that itself, because you look at young people and they're like, what valuable information can they give us that we already don't know? But you realize, and they would realize that often that these kids have these very powerful solutions, because what I realize is we are the generation that is growing up in a world of problems, and we're constantly seeing issues around us, and so we're constantly trying to think of ways to solve it, think of ways to live a better life in comparison to, you know, the folks that came before us, or even our parents whose challenges were much more different, you know. For them, making a living was more important than anything else. And so I think just for these stakeholders to realize that, okay, she has something that she wants to say, let's at least give it a listen, I think was one of the most powerful things. And yeah, just to come back to your question, how did I prepare? Definitely a lot of, you need to know what you're talking about and who you're talking to, I think. I definitely failed the first few times, and I learned from you know, that failure, where I realized that I need to know who I'm talking to and what I want to pitch them, because you need to understand what they already know, right? When we are kids, we often feel like we know everything in the world without realizing that there's so much we don't know. And I think as I keep getting older, I realize, the more I get older, the more I realize that I don't know the world at all. So it's just like this fascinating paradox that you have to navigate. But yeah, at the same time, it's exciting because it keeps you fueled to do more.
That's it. No, 100% it does. I love what you had said. I think it was like, make sure that you prepare and then understand what that person knows and what kind of their key goals are as well. I think honestly, like, just the fact that you even got the chance to get your foot in the door to be in front of these people and have the chance to, you know, obviously speak in front of them and explain like your solution and what you're doing, like, that takes a lot of effort. And I think for a lot of our listeners, maybe they're thinking about like, oh, like, how do I approach it? And you really just said like, yeah, it was just because you spoke from the heart. Like, maybe sometimes we even overcomplicate this kind of stuff when it's like, honestly, if you just speak from the heart, you really believe in what you're fighting for, then like the opportunities will open up. Do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you summed it up so well.
Dude, it's all you, it's all you. It's amazing, like, honestly, what that you've done. Like, I guess maybe could you tell us a little bit more about like what kind of impact your organization has done, maybe like the key initiatives and campaigns that you've done?
Yeah. So when we started off with, you know, water and trying to solve the issue of water being left behind in restaurants, right? So one of the solutions that we came up after a lot of trial and error was something called the glass half full solution, where we asked restaurants to fill the glasses only half so that people take only as much as they need and don't waste. At the same time, there is this conversation that is being struck between the restaurant, you know, customers as well as waiters, trying to understand why this is happening, why this exchange is happening. And they're really able to share with them that, you know, if you drink a little less water today, there's someone else in the world who's going to get access to it. And it starts small because it's a powerful mindset shift where you realize you only need to take as much as you need and not waste. And we've seen people's behaviors change, not just in restaurants, but in so many other aspects of their lives. So that's how it was very powerful. And of course, it was hard to get glass half full out first, even to create that solution, because it was hard to deeply penetrate into the hospitality industry that is so ruled by the amount of water that is constantly poured in glasses. It's such an important metric. So that was interesting to navigate, but again, after a lot of, sorry,
what do you mean by important metric? Like, as in the hospitality industry, like, they consider like, oh, like, glasses always need to be full, or?
Yeah. So it's considered as, so you get higher rating, you get more stars if the glasses are always full. So yeah, I mean, it was interesting to go back and learn how deep rooted these issues really are. And it's not anyone's fault specifically, but you know, a simple change in policies can pivot to, you know, such a large extent. And so that was exciting to bring about. And we, after I think a year of petitioning and campaigning, a lot of support from organizations like change.org and Global Changemakers, we were able to kind of petition and campaign, and almost over a year of convincing, trying to reach out to the National Restaurants Association of India, we finally got to them and were able to partner with the 5 lakh restaurants that they represent, and save almost 6 million liters of water. And reach several million people in the process. So it was a very powerful experience, and it took almost 3 years, more than 3 years, in fact, since I started. 3.5, I would say. But yes, it was definitely 3.5 to 4 years, rather. But I think it was worth it.
Oh yeah, definitely. 100%. That would have been worth it. I can imagine as well, like, when people are getting only half full glasses, like, they're also asking the waiters, like, oh, why is this happening? And then they're also explaining the campaign. So it just spreads and spreads and spreads. And the more people know about it. So that's incredible. And I love that you even have, like, those numbers as well to know, like, exactly how much of the impact it is and how much you've been able to save. So that's an incredible feat. So that took 3 to 4 years. I imagine then you guys had evolved and found, like, other solutions and campaigns that you're working on. You could share those too.
Yeah, absolutely. So we continued to roll out the glass half full idea. We started taking it to more countries. So we took it to over 8 countries. It was exciting to work in different perspectives, try to tailor the idea around, those countries' values and needs. Mm. So I think it was this really great example of what I truly believe in is the need to build localized solutions for the global perspective. So your solutions need to be tailored to your space, to your focus area, but at the same time, they need to have global value. They need to be something that can be implemented anywhere with just a little bit of tweaking. And so we saw that power in the idea. And today it's exciting to see the movement is living a life of its own. There are people adopting it, you know, without, there's governments adopting it, there's private firms adopting it in their own localized ways. You see, we go to offices and they write to us saying, you know, we've implemented this in our office. And so it's schools also, you know, just so many institutions taking it up in their own ways. So we love the fact that now the movement is living a life of its own. And I think that was one of the biggest wins for a change maker. So we were able to reach Canada, Dubai, the United States, South Africa, Nepal, Philippines, and even, I'm forgetting the last two countries.
But you basically covered most of the continents. We just need to hit Antarctica and then need to hit South America, right? I think you haven't got a country in South America, is that right?
We did do it. We did do some work in Mexico, not South America specifically, but Mexico, yes.
Hi there, we hope you're enjoying this episode so far. There's a lot more that we can do. The Global Changemakers mission is to support youth to create positive change towards more inclusive, fair, and sustainable communities. We do this by providing skills development, capacity building, mentoring, and grants. Head to our website, globalchangemakers.net, to learn more. Now, on with the rest of the episode.
So after, you know, the glass half full started living a life of its own, ironically, it was around the same time that the pandemic hit, right? And so we couldn't work with restaurants anymore. And for a long time, we'd been toying with these two very crazy ideas, which we hadn't gotten to really implementing yet. So the first one was a book. It's called The Sustainability Stories. And this is a collection of 13 new age fables, as I might say. And the
love
idea
that.
Is
new age about... fables. I love it. Love that oh. phrase already. Honestly, love
we're
it.
We're getting into something cool.
Exactly.
But yeah, so these new age fables basically talk about sustainability issues and environmental issues, and they empower kids to be the change that they want to see in the world, right? So when we talk about fables, it is focused on kids, like, let's say, between grades 1 to 5. And the idea is to tell them simple issues that exist in our environment and the environment around them. It can be simple things as the importance of finishing the food on your plate or the water in your glass. And, you know, just envisioning maybe someone else not doing it, that harming a third party, and then the the kid taking the decision to convince them to finish their food. And so, you know, just to build that network, and all of the stories have, you know, these really cute animal characters, and the character that always solves the problem is the little cub, or, you know, the little baby animal. And so
right on way, the new age fable, like you're really right on. I love it, it's good.
I love what you've got on. This is really sweet. But yeah, it has been exciting to, you know, kind of build, and we got about 4 writers to work with us, and again, complete for youth, by youth kind of a book. So the writers are all young adults, between the age of 16 to 20, and same for with, you know, the illustrators and the editors. So the entire book was created by folks between the age of 16 to 20. 4 writers from across India, and we had one writer coming from the United States as well, you know, who's just excited to volunteer with us. And so that's how the book got created. And for a while it was just, you know, rolling in our own networks. We were doing books, simple book reads for kids in, you know, orphanages, nonprofits, schools, etc. And then we went on to publish it with Pratham, which is India's largest nonprofit book publisher. And now the books are also being adopted by UNICEF in their climate action curriculum for kids. So it has had its, you know, own very exciting trajectory. So that is for kids. And then to come to, you know, so folks of ours.
We did all of this in COVID, you're saying, as well, during COVID.
So the books
previously, prior COVID, and then also till now. Oh.
Yeah, it was, you know, happening prior COVID. So, you know, the stories would be. So let me share something with you, right? When someone comes to me to volunteer with our organization,
yeah,
my thing is that you need to be doing something that you love and that you enjoy, because you can add value only when you're doing something that you know you're good at. So we had this one summer, we had a lot of writers come in. And I'd had this idea for a very long time. And I was like, guys, can you do this? And they got very excited about it. And so then we spent, so as soon as COVID hit, I decided, you know what, let's get to publishing this. And we self-published it. And then we got on Pratham. So again, the process of learning self-publishing, like I was mentioning in the beginning, there's just so much to learn when you create something of your own. It's phenomenal. And you're just taking on these new challenges on your own. There's no one asking you to do it, which is, I think, the most valuable part.
You're doing it.
So coming to the other side, right? I was talking about how Bangalore was named as the next city to run out of water. And finally, if you recollect, there was a lot of news around Cape Town being the first city in the world to almost run out of water. So, you know, end of June, they're going to run out of water. News changes, end of July, they're going to run out of water. And, you know, that kept progressing till this point where we heard that Cape Town is not going to run out of water. And I was very fascinated by the idea of how they pull themselves out of this slump. And I was very lucky to meet someone at the Global Changemaker Summit in 2018. So we have these breakout sessions in the evenings where we can conduct our own kind of knowledge sharing sessions. So during one of those sessions, I had done a water table. We always have such phenomenal minds coming in every year. It's just super exciting to engage with everyone. But the water table was basically all about understanding your water consumption habits. So what we did was we all closed our eyes and we reflected from the moment that we wake up to the moment that we sleep. Where all are we consuming water? And then we opened it for discussion. And we had this one girl from Cape Town and we had this one girl from Switzerland. And I was like, okay, guys, let's just compare both of your numbers. And there was, the girl from Switzerland was using almost 6 to 8 times the quantity of water the girl from Cape Town was using. And that made me realize that the way Cape Town pulled themselves out of the slump was simply by rationing water and making citizens part of the solutions, making them aware and making them mindful. And I realized that this is something that we will need across the world, because water resources are depleting. Desalination is not the best solution. Basically, there is no optimal solution yet that exists that we know is going to help us save water, right? And or, you know, even revive the resources. In fact, we're also completely depleting groundwater resources. Last year, we had a global health pandemic, and it's just worsening now. And amidst all of that, there were 2 billion people who lacked the access to water. So we know that water is going to be a dire shortage. In fact, often it has been doubted that the next world war is going to be the water wars. And so I think that made me realize the importance of involving every person in the solution. And we created an app, mobile application, so an app that basically allows you to calculate your water footprint, and then you can go on to save water. So there are simple challenges that you can take up, simple ways to save water, you know, simple things that you can do and incorporate, and that will help you save at least 100 liters of water every day. And all of this I had actually conceptualized during my Global Change Makers, during my time in Switzerland during the Global Change Makers conference. And finally, in during the lockdown, I was able to kind of work on it and bring it to a reality. Just the idea of giving in everyone's hands the capacity to save water and telling them how they can do it and be a part of the solution, I think was the most powerful outcome of it.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think that's like, there's so much there to sort of like recap in terms of like the water test, like reflecting on how much during the day that you spend, like you spend of water. And it's definitely a huge amount. I know for me personally, like growing up, especially in Australia, coming from a very privileged position, like you would use a hose to like clean your driveway. Like the driveway is always going to be dirty. Why are we going to use, and like you could even use a broom or a rack, but no, like you have to use a damn hose. Like it's just, yeah, definitely something to reflect on. And like having that. So I definitely, any other listeners, please make sure that you do that reflective test of how much, like, what are you using today? And then like having to actually go on to make the app is amazing. Like with an app in general, it's not exactly something cheap. You don't just make it for free. How did you go about with like sourcing the funding for that? And then like even getting people on board to even build it? Like that would have been quite a feat.
So I study at an engineering college. I'm an engineer myself.
Okay,
so
that makes things very easy. Okay, good.
That part just got solved.
Okay, nice, very good.
Most of the folks who worked with us, you know, are volunteers and are kind enough to donate their time to do this. But yes, there are some funds involved that need to be covered, which we have received grants in the form of grants from, you know, Global Changemakers, Change.org, and most recently, the Sean Mendes Foundation.
Yes, so, which was also part of why we had you on the podcast. You are a recipient of the Sean Mendes Foundation grant. Like, that is amazing. I was going to say, like, huge congrats. This is, you know, like, very cool. I mean, are you a fan of Sean?
I agree. It's so cool. I still can't believe it.
So like when did you get the news about that, actually? Like recently, right?
Very recently. And the way I got it was also really fun. It was just like, are you sitting in a chair? I was like, why, what happened? What
prepare yourself, it's happening.
Brace yourself.
So this is, no one can see this, but I'm giving a big round of applause, literally round.
Thank you so much. Thank you. But yeah, it's honestly, thanks to the belief that people have, you know, in the work that we do. And that is also what keeps us going to continue to do more.
Yes, 100%. And I think it's really also a great sign of like you being able to achieve so much with the help of grants like this. And I think it's definitely like some words of advice to our listeners as well, to like think about, okay, if there's like an initiative that you're doing, like reach out to different organizations or companies who are, you know, providing grants and seeing if you're eligible. Did you ever feel like you were going to get it, or were you like, oh, like I'll give it a try and I'm not really sure what's going to happen?
With the Sean Foundation grant, it was that's actually an angel grant. So we didn't even apply for it. It literally just came out of the blue. And when I talk out of the blue, I mean out of, even know what blue existed.
So this is like an example of like manifesting into the world, you know, when you're like, you know, I'm just going to do all the work, and then the work, like it just comes back to you. Like this is a beautiful moment of, celebrating you and the great work of the organization that you're doing, honestly.
Yeah. And I think in a lot of ways, you know, not anticipating it and not, you know, kind of, was so cool. With like GCM and change.org, these are still grants that we apply for. And there are so many others that are available out there for change makers like us. And what I would really tell everyone is that you have nothing to lose when you apply for it. In fact, I've applied so many times and I started getting it only after a point because I refined my ask, I refined my my own perspectives in the process. So just going through that process, even if you fail, it doesn't matter because it's going to give you more power as to what you want to do and who you want to be. So I think do it regardless of the outcome.
Yes, love it. Love that enthusiasm. Honestly, like I think even what you're talking about when you were talking to the MPs and the, you know, local reps, like sometimes you're going to fail and that's okay. Like you're going to learn from it. You're going to know how to do it even better the next time. And then maybe an angel investor comes in. They're like, hey, we love what you're doing and it's going to happen. So it's good. Honestly, it's so good to hear. We are, you know, coming up to the end of our podcast recording. What would be
that
one?
Makes me sad.
I know it does. It does, me too. What would be one key like stat or takeaway that you think everyone who's listening to this podcast should know about like water and the state of water in the world today?
I think when it comes to water, it's simple. Each and every one of us, we can only solve the crisis when each and every one of us are a part of the solution. When each and every one of us are being mindful, and when it comes to being a change maker, right? And I say this very often, but our world we say that change is the only constant. But now I think the world is in the constant need for change makers, and that is each and every one of us, you, me, everyone around us, and we need to realize is that as young people we grew up with solutions to problems because we are growing up in such a volatile, ambiguous, uncertain, you know, the VUCA world, and so we are growing up with those solutions in our heads, and we just need to find it. We all have it inside of us, so tap into that motivation and go out there and, you know, be the change maker that the world needs, and don't be afraid. Because what you're doing is very powerful, and there might be people around you who don't understand it, but have that self-conviction, and you will most definitely build that change that you want to see. But more than anything else, just don't be afraid to fail, because failure is fuel, and it is only going to make you much, much stronger, better, and harder at anything that you're doing.
Love that. I love that. I love that analogy. Failure is fuel. Like it just shifts it in such a positive way. Honestly, very good word to end on. If any of our listeners did want to get in touch with you, how would they be able to do it? I would imagine via the Why Waste website, IG handles. Yeah, maybe you can let us know what those are.
Yeah. No, absolutely. You can DM me on Instagram. I reply sometimes.
I love that.
I try to ensure I reply to everyone who reaches out, even if it's whatever simple messages it is as well. The best way to reach out to me is to write on my email ID, garvita@ywaste.io. So garvita at whywaste.io. You can also check out our website, ywaste.io, and hit us up on the contact form. You can check out our social media handles at ywaste.org on all social media platforms, and there'll always be someone to respond and help you out with anything you need. If you have any new ideas to share with us, if there's something that you want to, empower in your society with our resources, we're more than happy to learn more about it. So, yeah.
Love it. I feel like every time whenever I ask like people who are on the podcast to like say all the handles, I feel like at the end it's just like, oh yeah, like, comment and subscribe. Like, make sure you tune in. New videos every Wednesday, like whatever it is. My YouTube channel. No, thank you so much. We will definitely put those in the show notes of the episode today. Thank you so much, honestly, for being part of the podcast episode today. It has been, I've learned so much. I think it's just definitely something to think about and reflect on. And I really hope in terms of everyone today, if you haven't done anything today, have a think about what you've consumed in your day to day. Like, how much water have I consumed today? I think that's a nice place to start, and then go from there. Thank you so much, and have a lovely day.
Thank you for having me, and I think you wrapped it up perfectly. At the end of every day, ask yourself, how much water did I consume today? And not just water, any resource. Be more mindful.
That's it.
And be kind to the world. Be kind to people. Yeah, that's all.
That's it. Thank you, everyone. See ya.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Remember to help us create a greater impact by sharing this and encouraging everyone on your social media to take a listen. If you want to reach out, you can contact the hosts via podcast@global-changemakers.net or feel free to message us on Instagram @globalchangemakers and Twitter @wearegcm. We'll be very happy to talk to you and answer any questions. Remember to follow us and subscribe to this podcast. See you in the next episode. Take care.